for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, December the 31st, 2007. Carla Batod is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Keys to the Kingdom.
Did you enjoy the song service this morning? That was so much fun. I got a little nervous, though, when they took their sweaters off, because I thought about David dancing out of his clothes. I thought, we better shut this thing down pretty quick.
Well, that's what killed it.
Yeah. Lord. But it is true. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's been my experience that when I lost my joy, the rest of the world came following after. Just crash and burn. Guard your joy. Okay, well, first of all, I want to start and by prophesying. Well, first, welcome. I want to welcome all of those that are still here and the angelic host that I have the privilege of teaching this morning. But I want to say to every dry bone in this place, hear the word of the Lord. I speak to every deaf ear to be opened and hear the word of the Lord. I speak to every stony heart, be circumcised to receive the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6:14. I'm not going to give a title yet. And several people have asked. I always thought it's funny. Nobody ever asked what I'm teaching on. Today, several people asked, and I don't have a title. But you are going to have to guess what the title is. Okay? We're going to start with Matthew 6:14. Everybody there? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now turn to Luke 6:38. I knew I had the right message. Doc quoted this to me this morning, this scripture. 6:38. Everybody there? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. Now go to Matthew 7. Wait. We're right there. Oh, no, that's Matthew. Okay, go to Matthew 6:37. Matthew 6:37. There's not a 6:37. All right, what have I done here? Oh, it's Luke. No, wait a minute. Let me just read what I have here. I don't know where it is, but I did write it out of the Bible. Of course, this was at midnight last night, so. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke. Okay, must be 6:37 then. Okay. Now, Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Everybody there? Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. Or in other words, with the harshness of the judgment that you judge, you shall also be judged as harshly. Okay? Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now turn to Matthew 5:7. Everybody there? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now go to Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, what do you think the message, the title should be? Anybody got a guess? That's a good one.
Or else forgiveness.
Or else forgiveness.
Sowing and reaping.
What is it?
Fair measure.
Anybody else? All of those would do.
Mercy.
Any of those would do. I couldn't think of a title. So pick one. When you title the CD, whoever does it or someone else can tell him. I actually call those the keys to the kingdom. That scripture is actually Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In my early years of being a Christian, I would hear that scripture used all the time. They didn't know anything about deliverance, you know, but they did know enough that they were binding the bad thing and loosing the good thing. Binding the bad thing, loosing the good thing. And I was in this prayer group for probably 5 years, and over those 5 years, I never saw one of the bad things leave or one of the good things come. And I said, now, Lord, your word is true. And if this is being used in the right way, it should work, right? So I want you to help me understand what this scripture means, because it means something, but it's not being used in the right way. And that morning in my devotional, that scripture happened to be in there. That's why I stopped and asked him. That scripture was in my devotional reading. And immediately, as I was yet speaking, as it came out the other night when the servant was asking for his request, but as I was speaking, a scripture dropped into my spirit, and it was, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I thought, that's all I'm going to get? I mean, that's the explanation? So I had to think about it, see? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, Lord, I'm saying, would you forgive me the way I forgive others? And in that, I understood this scripture. I began to think of other things, like those scriptures that I just read. Blessed are the merciful. That's someone who is extending mercy. For they shall receive mercy. Right? So I began to see that scripture as a personal instruction to me that whatever I bind in myself, like if somebody comes to me or offends me or needs forgiveness or needs compassion, and I don't loose that to them, then when I'm needing compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness, I don't get it from him. Whatsoever things I loose on earth are loosed in heaven to me. Whatsoever things I bind on earth are bound from me in the heaven. Does that make sense? Okay, so in my process of growing spiritually, I had a very strong spirit of Jezebel, and I was ruthless. I mean, I was ruthless. I was let me back up. I was not Jezebel. was a monster. I was not a monster. Jezebel in me was a monster. Okay, so I wasn't very forgiving or compassionate or merciful because of that ruling spirit in my life. So I was seeking God for that, all that. I didn't even know it was a Jezebel spirit until I started learning about demons. I just knew that I hated those things in me, and I was asking God for help to get rid of them. So when this came to me, I had to make it a deliberate intent to forgive, a deliberate intent to extend mercy, and all of those things that we were giving. Jezebel is selfish, stingy. She's obsessive, jealous. She's wicked. So it took a deliberate intent with the help of God for those things to break through in my life. And what really happened was, in the knowledge of the Spirit of God, I had to yield myself and allow those things to come forth. So I didn't know anything about deliverance. Nobody delivered me. God delivered me. The truth of His Word delivered me. Yielding to Him starved her to death, and she left.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
She had no rule over me anymore. And so she didn't like being in my house anymore. Now, another interesting thing, since I mentioned the house, is it says that when the spirit leaves, it goes into dry places looking, and it comes back and says, I'll go back, and it finds the house swept and garnished. I always thought that scripture meant the spirit comes back to this house. Well, and it may have. It didn't. There were times that I could have allowed her to operate again, but because I was so free with her gone, there was no way I would even think about it. You know, it was just, so she did come back to the house, not and get in this house. She came to my home house. And believe it or not, she got into my Ahab husband. Now, you talk about a mess. Suddenly, he starts doing to me what I did to him for about 13 years of our marriage. Man, talk about repent. Lord, every time he would force this, you know, force his opinion or his decision or what, you know, the thermostat was funny because in our earlier years, in Mike's young years, he was always hot and would freeze me out. And now that we're older, of course, you know, hormonally, I'm the hot one. And he's the one. He's adding wood to the fire and stoking it, you know, and I'm going around raising a window. Hoping he won't see me. Oh, God, he's stoking the fire. But Jezebel got into him. I mean, she's still there. Now, we're having a ball with this. I mean, just the other day, I can't even remember what it was because it happens almost daily. I'll get on the phone and he'll say, "Well, who are you calling? Well, what do you want with them? And why are you sitting there? Why don't you sit over here?" And I'm like, he knows now because I'll just get this look on my face. And I go, "Oh, am I doing it?" So that gave me a new understanding of what that means when the spirit comes back to the house. Because if she wants to stay in the same family, you see, but she didn't come back into me, but she did get into my husband. So remember that too. Whenever you get delivered, and if you start seeing that thing anywhere else in your house, command it to go. in the name of Jesus, you're not going to be in my husband either. And every time I do that to him, he's a serious man, but he likes to have fun. So I'll just say, in the name of Jesus, he goes, I'll say, Lord, did you see him? See what he did? You don't joke with this stuff, you know. He's a funny guy. But anyway, these are spiritual principles. If I asked for a volunteer, sat a chair right here, and asked for a volunteer to participate in an experiment, then I take this big old brick and hold it up here. I want a volunteer to come. I'm going to drop this brick, and we're going to see what happens. Well, nobody would be that stupid to come and sit in the chair, because we all know what happens when you drop a brick. It goes down, right? Well, God's principles work just as real and strong as the principles in the world. Gravity, fire, you know, we all know what those principles will do in the world. But these principles are very important in our Christian walk. Do they work just sometimes? No. Every time you drop the brick, it goes down. So every time you break one of these, it's going to come back on you. The judgment, well, in this, in the one about compassion, I was healed. Y'all have heard me tell stories of how I was healed of allergies. I was seeking healing, and God just said, you know, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Okay. I didn't know how, but I said, okay, I receive it. By faith, in Jesus' name. Next day, all the symptoms were gone. I was totally healed. Never had another sinus infection. Until Mike was going to go deer hunting. And it was cold and rainy, and he has allergies. So when the weather changes, you know, it does a job on him. So he stopped up and coughing and all, you know, the runny nose and all of that. And I said, you know, I can't believe you're fixing to go hunting in this weather when you're borderline sick. And actually, I think he had like a low-grade fever. But that's what he did. He took his vacation and he wasn't going to miss it. So off to the deer lease he went. And I knew that he was going to come back sick. Well, the kids and I were at the house by ourselves, and they were young, and I would put them to bed, and then I would have some time to myself, so I would go rent a movie or something that I enjoyed and have some enjoyable time by myself. And that night, put the kids to bed, stuck my movie in, and I heard Kyle crying. And he comes in there, and I said, Kyle, what's the matter? My ear hurt. Now, my children have never had an earache. See, this was a test. I didn't know it was a test. But he had an earache. And I didn't know what to do because I've never had an earache. None of my children have ever had an earache. So I called a friend of mine whose kid keeps an earache. And I said, well, what do you do for the earache? So she told me, and I did all that. Well, put him back to bed, sit down with my movie, and here he comes again crying. Now, in the old days when Jezebel was there, I would have ranted, raised, spanked him, put him back in the bed. Don't get up again. Don't you get out of that bed again. But, you know, I'm not the same person anymore. So I thought, okay, maybe this will work. Dad's gone. None of the kids have ever slept with us, ever. But I thought, maybe he would be happy if he got to sleep in Dad's place. So I said, why don't we fix you up in Daddy's spot in the bed? Because he wanted his daddy. I said, Kyle, Daddy's not here. You know, that was before cell phones. I can't get in touch with him. So what about sleeping in Daddy's place? You can sleep on his pillow. And so I fixed him all up. And I put some little praise music there, and I prayed, laid hands on him and prayed for him, and hoping that would do it, went back and started the movie again. And now he's not coming in there, but I just hear him crying. And I thought, Lord. So I turned off the movie, and I thought, you know, I'm not ready for bed, but if it'll comfort him, I'll just go to bed. Just go lay with him and go to bed. So I was thinking to myself, oh, no, we're going to be up all night. But I went to bed, prayed for him again, just stroked his hair, and he went to sleep, and I went to sleep, and we woke up the next morning. And I was so thankful. Lord, thank you that he was not awake all night. Okay, so Daddy comes home from hunting, and he is sick. And I thought, you know? Didn't you know that you were going to get sicker when you go out in the drizzling rain and it's freezing cold and you're sick already and you're going to go sit on a deer stand and hunt and you're sick? That is just not wise. So comes in, and oh man, let me tell you, when men get sick, I don't know if everybody else is this way, but it takes very little to wipe him out. And he's all curled up in the bed and pitiful. No mercy here. I mean, you should have known. So I'm telling you, there was no mercy. Well, he got well, and I got sick. With a sinus infection. And here's the bad thing. The whole time I was doing that, this scripture was in my face. And I refused. Just total rebellion. So there was the sinus infection. And I knew exactly why I had the sinus infection, because I gave no mercy, I got no mercy. So I was just sick until the sinus infection left. I was quick to repent, but I still, you know, endured the sinus infection. But I've never had another one since then. Because, you know, I didn't want to be, I was doing the same thing in the spiritual sense that Mike did in the physical sense. I was acting just like him, spiritually, where he did physically. And that brings me to the next one, is judgment. You better know that if you judge, you better look at it like this. You are writing a purchase order for whatever you judge somebody to be delivered to you. And it's coming. Rain, sleet, snow. Nothing stops it. If you judge, you're going to get it. I'm living proof of that. Everything I have judged, I am living. So, when it says judge not, that's what it means. Judge not. But boy, do we ever judge. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9. Everybody there? I don't like to start before you get there, because then everybody's flipping and you don't hear most of what's being said at the beginning. Verse 9. And he spoke this parable, Jesus. And Jesus spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Why? Because of self-righteousness, which is what he said. He was righteous, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He had self-righteousness and he had pride. And I've been there too. I judged others. There was a family on my road that had, now my children were babies. You know, I had total control over my babies. And they weren't old enough, you know, to leave the house on their own or whatever. And this family had two teenagers, and one of them was in rebellion. And I had all the answers. I could have gone over there and told them just what they need to do with that kid. Now it's at my house. So when you judge somebody's situation, go ahead with your opinion because you're going to get an opportunity to be tested in it. You'll have a chance to use that advice that you would give. Go ahead. Then we'll see what you'll do with the situation and how well your advice, your know-it-all advice works. So judge not. He was pride. He had pride. He was proud and he was arrogant with it. Bragging on himself. He was deceived. Because when we judge others, we tend to judge others in the areas of our self-righteousness. That's why when you suffer these things, you become compassionate. You become more willing to understand somebody's situation even though you haven't lived in it because you already know that you better not judge it or have a know-it-all spirit because then you'll have it. So, hey, let me extend compassion to you. Let me extend understanding to you because if I don't, I know it's not going to be for me when I need it. You know that scripture that says, and I this just came to me, I didn't have it to look up, but it says, like when you go to someone to correct them, you do it in a gentle and meek spirit, lest you be tempted. And I know now that that scripture means if you go to someone with correction or anything, you do it in a manner that you would want to be corrected, you know, lest you be tempted. If you have a situation and correction comes to you, you do it in a loving manner so that when it's your turn, it'll come to you in a loving manner. Because however harshly you correct somebody, when correction is your turn, it's going to be like that. Serious, really serious. And what were some of the others? Merciful. Oh yes, give, and it shall be given unto you. So in your Christian walk, how generous are you? Because a lot of us need. And you reap what you sow. So whatever's going on in your life, look at those situations and ask yourself the question, you know, have I been giving? And there is a sowing and a reaping. And in the illustration of tithing in Malachi, he says, test me in that and see. You know, what happens to us when we get in lack, we tend to hang on to everything we've got. And then there's no flow from heaven. You know, it's like the lady who gave her one mite. She gave when she didn't have to give, but she gave. It's like when we have the collection sometime that Doc is over, a thanks, what is it called?
A thanks offering.
Yeah. if you don't have anything, give an, you know, put an earring in there, put a button off your coat. You can go get it back when the service is over. But we need to be generous in our giving. When we give, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." See, in the future, I've got a teaching I'm going to be doing on money, God's financial system, which is not money, because in the kingdom of heaven, money is not going to buy you anything. So we'll hear about that later. But right now, the principle is that, you know, God asks for one dime out of every dollar. You know, when I would talk to Mike, when we were just learning about these things, I would say, you know, look how generous God is. He lets us keep the 90%. He's just asking for a dime, you know. How can that be a strain on your finances? One penny out of every dime. He's not asking much. But he says, just test me and see. You give that and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out so much that you can't even receive it. See, that's a spiritual principle. And yet, we don't want to give. But when you get past, when you begin to do it, you want to give more and more and more, because you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. He's generous. And he desires to pour out on us, but we've got to learn the principles. And we've got to obey the principles in order for it to work for us. So there's a discipline there. Give and it shall be given unto you. It's just amazing. You know, the other day in that teaching I said about the inheritance, Lord, I'll take my portion of my inheritance now. Well, the inheritance came and allowed me to buy the furniture that I wanted. But since then, and I haven't even really thought about this, this ring that I'm wearing, and see my children in their thieving and stuff, my wedding ring got hawked. I didn't even really know that it was gone because I don't remember what made me go look for it. I think I found a pawn shop ticket. I was searching Katie's purse because I suspected that she was, you know, I was looking for drugs or, some, you know, something having to do with drugs. And I found a pawn shop ticket, and it said gold, 14-karat gold ring, and she got $350 for it. And I went to look for my ring. Oh, I think I might have been wearing this ring that my dad gave me that belonged to his mother. So I had started wearing this ring, you know, sometimes. And then I found that pawn ticket, and I went to my jewelry box, and my wedding ring was gone. And that was very painful to know that one of my children would hawk my wedding ring. It was the only real thing that I had. You know, everything else I wear is junk. You know, but not 14-karat gold. And my wedding band. So Mike went down to look for it. You know, he said, I'm gonna go. Of course, I found the ticket in July, and the date was December. Well, there was no ring. So now I can't remember where I was going with that. Yeah, God's gifts. And you know, in the talking about the enemy's camp, and when the thief is found, he's got to pay double. Today I was telling the story to somebody. I thought, wait a minute. I was given this ring, and my aunt, another aunt, oh, about 4 or 5 months ago, said, come over, I want to give you your inheritance. I thought, really? I've got one? Okay. Well, she gave me this beautiful, it's a dinner ring. It's not anything that that I ever wear, but it's a beautiful ring. It's 14 karat gold, and it's got diamonds all around this blue sapphire. And I found the thief, and I've got two rings, probably both of them platinum, you know, platinum and diamond, probably worth more than my low band. But the heart attitude that you have about it, you know, I was wounded for a little while, and I said, Lord, I forgive her, because I know, just like Jezebel was in me, she's got a demon. My daughter would have never done that to me. She loves me. But the demon in her doesn't care one thing about me or my wedding ring. And I said, Lord, it's just a ring. It's just a ring. I forgive. Because, see, I could have held on to it and been bitter about it, but what's coming my way? See, I'm in it for me, y'all. I'm in this for... It has to be for us first. Before I can... It's like Tom said. Until we empty out and let God pour into us, I have nothing for you. And it's not even from me. It's from God. This is God's stuff. But because I've lived it and suffered it, I don't want you to suffer it. That was my prayer to God some years ago after I had suffered and learned and suffered and learned and suffered and learned. Lord, if I can save anybody the pain, let me have an opportunity to share this and give them a shortcut to joy and peace and happiness and rest. And so I thank Glenn for allowing me even to come here and share the things that God has brought me through. Because in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. I'll find it. I've got it marked in here. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. So the things that I suffer and am comforted in from God, now I can comfort you in that same trouble. So this is kind of like a warning, you know, a preview of what not to do, so that you don't have to suffer those things that I suffered. So judge not and have mercy. Extend compassion. Release those things. Loose those things in the earth that you want from heaven. That's the principle. Give, and it shall be given to you. Not just money. Love, mercy, compassion, understanding, joy, kindness. You know, you extend kindness, you get kindness. And then if somebody's not kind to you, you extend understanding. One thing I learned when I went through, it was an identity crisis. I used to call it a depression. It was really an identity crisis, because once you know who you are in God, depression would have a hard time coming on you. But I didn't know who I was. So when God showed me who I was, depression left. It just had to go, because I knew who I was. I was a child of God, and He loved me no matter what, just like I was. All the junk, He loved me. And I knew it, so I could be depressed no more. But now I forgot where I was going with that. Lord, help me in the depression. Where was I going, Jane? Okay, Lord. I'm like Gwen now. Here it came. I got it. Is that... when I was in a hurting condition, I was not very kind. And I know now that when people are ugly and sharp and critical, it's because they're hurting. But we will take the offense, and then we're all, you know, because then it's come back on you, and it's all about your feelings and how you feel and what they said and blah, 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 and what did I ever do and all that mess. That's how the devil works. But since I've gone through that, and I know that whoever showed up at my door, whoever called me on the phone, if you walked in the room, you were my, that's who I attacked. That's right. So if somebody called me on the phone, or now if I call someone and they're sharp and, you know, they're offensive and rude and whatever, I take no offense. Because it's not about me. Now I know, Lord, whatever they're going through, help them so I can pray for them. But until we get to that point, we are so selfish that it's all about us. We're not really in tune to what the other person's going through because all we care about is how it affects us. So since I've been through that, I have understanding, and now I can comfort someone else or pray for them, but it doesn't affect me. So when people say, well, I called them and they just didn't give me the time of day, I said, well, don't take offense. It had nothing to do with you. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about maybe they just had a big argument with their husband, or maybe they just had a big upset with their children? Maybe you called it just the right wrong time and they responded out of that. It didn't have anything to do with you. See, but we're so selfish that it's all about us. Well, what did I ever do to you? Of course, that's kind of my question that I asked God whenever a lot of stuff came down. It was like, Lord, what did I ever do to deserve this? You know what? Let me just give you a little tip. Forget the question in God. If you could get why out of your vocabulary, you'll be a lot better off. Don't sit around and think about why. Start examining. If you're reaping something, well, here's the question. I ran into somebody at the filling station one day, somebody that I knew in the church world, and, well, how have you been? Man, at every turn, this one did this to me, this one did that to me, this one, the other did this one to me. And I said, well, what are you sowing? If this is what you're harvesting, what are you sowing? Or if that's not it, maybe you're not doing anything wrong. Maybe God is just calling on you to extend understanding or extend compassion or whatever it is the call is. It's one or the other. See ya. Good to see ya. But it was really funny because it was a man, and I said that. I said, well, what are you sowing? And then I'm thinking, what am I saying? What are you sowing? What am I saying? Or it could be. And he goes, whoa. Whoa. See ya. But he saw something. I don't know what. I didn't stick around. Gotta go. But really, you know, these things are so simple that we miss it. We miss it. So I thank Glenn for his stories up here because this was a really short lesson. But you got one more story? Okay, well, we're going to do some deliverance fires because, see, I didn't do it after my other two. So, and Glenn always says, whatever you teach, you do. And I always thought, well, I would never get up here and teach something that I don't live, but I missed it, Glenn. You got to be more specific. Whatever you teach, you need to offer deliverance in. But I got it later, and I usually do. But we're going to do some repenting, as Tom said. Repent. As I've been talking about this, maybe some things have come to your mind. Relationships that you're struggling with or problems that you're having. So we're just going to take just a short minute. If you hadn't thought about it, think about it now. And have you violated any of these? Because, you know, walking with God, it really is simple if we just would do it. So this has been kind of an examination of these principles in your life and some examples of how it changed my life. So let's just take a minute and bow our heads. Ask God to show you if there's any of these principles that you violated, and there's others in the Scripture that I didn't take time to search for last night. Every time I find one of these little things, I draw a key beside it, because these really are the keys of the kingdom, living in the kingdom. So, Father, right now we just ask you to come.
Yes.
Bring to our memories, Lord, people that we have not extended kindness to, or extended love when they needed it, or extended compassion or mercy or understanding. Bring those to our minds right now, Lord. And if it calls for us going to them, then, Lord, let us be quick to do it. Let us not put it aside or procrastinate getting it done, because we don't know what door that will open for us. If we take these keys and use them in the correct way, the freedom that it will bring us. And, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for judging. Forgive us for being self-righteous. Forgive us for being hard-hearted. Forgive us, Lord, for trusting in ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we need help and reminders every day how to walk in your kingdom, how to be your children. Forgive us for being stingy. Forgive us for not wanting to give. Forgive us for being selfish and self-centered. Forgiving us for being touchy and easily offended. Forgive us when we've been unkind. Forgive us for being deceived, Lord. Forgive us for being hard-hearted. Forgive us for being know-it-alls. Forgive us for thinking we have all the answers. Forgive us for being critical. And, Lord, I ask you to void every purchase order that we have had filled out when we violated these things. I ask you to just rip them up right now. We see our own pride and arrogance and self-righteousness, and we repent of it so that we don't have to have it come back on us, Lord. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against pride, all pride. I break your power. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to leave God's people. Arrogance, all arrogance, pride, know-it-all, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of judging, the critical eye, being critical and judgmental, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's people. There's no room for that in the kingdom. As you said, Lord, the prince of this world cometh, but it hath nothing in me. That's what you said, Lord. That's where we want to be. We want, for when the prince comes, he finds none of himself in us. So I just bind the spirit of pride and arrogance right now and command it to go. Self-righteousness, I bind you and command you to go. Religious spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus that finds at fault with everybody else's doctrine or beliefs or techniques or anything. I bind you right now and command you to go. Leave God's people now. Go in Jesus' name. All those judging spirits, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of deception, seeing everybody else's faults and sins but your own. You spirit of deception, I bind you and command you to go. Lord, open our eyes and show us ourselves. Lord, when we read your word, forgive us for applying it to everybody but ourselves. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name of projecting it all on everybody else but ourselves. Forgive us for that. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of being hard, having no mercy, no compassion. The word says shutting up the bowels. Maybe that's one reason we're constipated. We've shut up the bowels of compassion and mercy. Lord, I just come against all those spirits right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I bind all unforgiveness. You see, if you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Unkindness. I bind the spirits of unkindness in Jesus' name and command you to go. Lord, I release kindness. I release kindness. I release mercy. I release compassion in Jesus' name. I release understanding in the name of Jesus. I release a forgiveness and a forgiving heart. A heart of compassion. I release love in the name of Jesus. I release humility in place of pride. Go in Jesus' name. I release humility in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of selfishness in Jesus' name. All spirits of selfishness, I bind you and command you to go. And I release generosity. In Jesus' name, I release generosity, a generous spirit. I bind the critical spirit in Jesus' name and command you to go. All critical spirits, go in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, I break all the soul ties that when we have acted in this way, everyone we've judged, I break the soul ties. Did you know that if you judge somebody, you can take on their physical ailments? Have you judged somebody? Even in their physical ailment. I'll tell you, my cousin had kidney stones recently. Nobody in our family's ever had kidney stones. He had several bouts of kidney stones. And then my brother and my cousin, hunting buddies, they're just together all the time. My brother came down with kidney stones. And the next time I saw him, I said, "Hey, Jerry, did you judge Perry? You know, for being a baby, or did you?" Because, "Oh, he's always exaggerating." Well, you felt his pain. Jerry said, "You know, that's the first thing I thought about." Because I have that in my family now. "You better be careful." Jerry said, "Well, that is the first thing I thought about." I said, "Well, did you judge him?" And he said, "Yeah, I kind of did." I said, "I bet you won't do it anymore, will you?" He said, "No. My kidney stones were worse than his." Naturally. Because, hey, when it's our pain, we feel it more than we feel their pain. So, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your principles. We thank you for your keys. Lord, I just pray that every person that's heard this message will begin to use their keys in the correct way so that we'll open the doors that we won't open, that we, let me rephrase that, want open. Use the keys to the doors that we want open and use the other keys to lock the doors that we shouldn't open. So I just give you thanks, Lord. I give you praise and glory. I thank you for this wonderful year that we've had. I look forward with anticipation to 2008 because it's going to be great.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, I ask you to bless the food. We give you thanks for it. And I thank you that by your word, it is sanctified and made whole and good for our bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.